give you, we join with the angels this morning, Lord, as we sing hallelujah to your wonderful name this morning, Lord, on this Christmas day. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for coming to the earth, Lord. Thank you for saving our souls this morning, Lord. Oh, God, we just give you the praise and we sing hallelujah to your wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, let's sing a tune, church. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Merry Christmas, everybody. What a beautiful day and what a celebration, eh? I mean, if any day, if any birthday we should celebrate, gotta be this one. Years ago, 1992, 93, I remember that I wanted to write a song, a Christmas song. But I wanted to make sure that it was about Jesus and nobody else. I wanted to have a song that it will tell people about him, who he was, the reason why he came. And I pray about it, and I remember that God inspired me. And he gave me Navidad, Christmas Eve. So I hope that you can enjoy this song, and it's for his glory.
Christmas Eve, everybody celebrating the new king's birth. Navidad, Christmas Eve, everybody celebrating the new king's birth. He has charisma, the Son of God, he is. In him rejoice, he brought us love and genuine peace. Navidad, Christmas Eve, everybody celebrating the new king's birth. Navidad, Christmas Eve, everybody celebrating the new king's birth. In Bethlehem, the Holy One was born. For us, he left in heaven his throne. Navidad, Christmas Eve, everybody celebrating the new king's birth. Emmanuel, God with us, the greatest gift to humanity. He gave his life to give us hope, and by his blood he made us free. Navidad, Christmas Eve, everybody celebrating the new king's birth. Navidad, Christmas Eve, everybody celebrating the new king's birth. I wish to you and the world Merry Christmas, Feliz Navidad, Merry Christmas, everyone.
Hallelujah. I was talking to somebody one day that doesn't believe in celebrating Christmas. He said, and this person says, well, there is no, in the Bible, he says, there it doesn't say that we have to celebrate the birth of Jesus. I guess that person doesn't even celebrate their children's birth. And I said, you got to be kidding me. I said, there was a big celebration that day. Don't remember the angels singing? Don't remember the wise men coming with the gifts and everything? It was a celebration in heaven. So they celebrated, why not us, right?
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Próspero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Navidad, próspero año y felicidad. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad, próspero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, próspero año y felicidad. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas, I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas, I wanna
Jesus, everybody.
Hallelujah. Feliz Navidad. Joyeux Noël. Merry Christmas. As long as we get it. Amen. It says in the book of Luke, and it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in the heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as was told them. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision, the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Wow. Isn't that a powerful portion of Scripture? You know, I was reading this little story, and I think even this week in the Daily Bread, they talked about what would happen in our world if Jesus never came. And I saw this interesting little story. I just want to share it with you. It says, a story is told of a pastor who was preparing his Christmas message when he fell asleep in his study at the church. He dreamed that he was in a world in which Jesus had never come. He walked out in the streets, but no church steeples pointed to heaven. He was summoned to visit a dying woman, but on arriving found that his Bible had no New Testament, no promises of heaven. So he bowed his head and wept in bitter despair, for he could offer her no real hope beyond the grave. And suddenly the pastor was awakened by the choir down the hall practicing the familiar Christmas carols. Joy filled his soul as he realized, as never before, while we sing, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." Hallelujah. You know, Jesus changes everything. And it's amazing what he does in our life. Could I borrow a couple of those stools from you this morning? I'm going to use the microphone here now. You know, I believe that Jesus has made such a difference in our world. And we wanted to just share a little bit with you. And go ahead and put the first slide up there. Thank you. Merry Christmas from Betty and I. I know people missed it last week, so we thought we'd put it up again. Maybe we should put it up again January 1st next week. But anyway, Merry Christmas from us. Go ahead, the next one, Wendy. The greatest gift to this whole wide world is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is profoundly changed the world that you and I live in profoundly. I mean, just to think of what we would have today if Jesus had not come. You know, and I was driving down the street, and Betty and I were commenting on the stores closed. And I said, you know, shopping has become such a big thing in our world today. Commercialism and buy. I mean, like the stores right now, they are ready for tomorrow, for Boxing Day. It used to be just one Boxing Day. Like I've seen some stores out pre-Boxing Day sale, Boxing Day sale, Boxing Day week, you know, and they Boxing Day month into January. Like they are just pushing and pushing it, cramming it down our throat of the commercialism and all the things. But we were commenting of how, you know, so nice just to drive down Pitt Street, see the stores closed, everything shut, Tim Hortons closed. We came by the Tim Hortons up by us there, and there's a car went in the lot and kind of turned around, went back out. I guess he was looking for his coffee, and the coffee place was closed. It's so wonderful to see that. But if Jesus hadn't come, what would our world look like? You know, you think there'd be no churches like we know it, no gospel message for you and I to share to the world. And I'm so very grateful that Jesus came. As you hear those angels crying out goodwill towards men, peace on earth, you know, that was the message that was proclaimed. That was the message that went out. That was the message that was told the shepherds. And they took that message and they ran with that message. And Jesus was born in this world. And thank God for the Son of God that came and the life that he lived and the way he affected people that came in contact with him. And the disciples, we were talking last night in a gathering of people that, you know, it was Judas, the one who betrayed Jesus, but, you know, they all sat around the room saying, is it I? Is it I? I mean, every one of us, we've betrayed Jesus in some way. We're sinners through and through. Thank God that he came to rescue us and to purchase our salvation. And he's changed us. And we are now like those angels proclaiming to the world, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. And we're shouting that out, and that's what God wanted us to do. It was to tell others all about Jesus. The next slide, please, Wendy, because that's the greatest gift. And remember what it says in Acts chapter 1, and this is from the New Living Translation. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem and throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And I guess, you know, we're in the ends of the earth. We are that part of that stage of the proclamation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we are in church today because of that ends of the earth. I mean, we saw the Jerusalem and Judea and the Samaria, but here we are as the ends of the earth. And so I think it's so interesting that that message of Jesus has gone into the whole world. And we are here today because of that message being shouted to us one day. And we came and we bowed our knee and confessed with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God we're saved. Wow. What a difference that Savior has made to our lives and transformed us. And so, anyway, I asked Betty a little while ago, because there are so many missionaries out on the different fronts of different countries, and they are reaching out into the lost and different neighborhoods and different people groups and different cultures and different languages and everywhere where they go. And thank God that that message is going out into the whole wide world. And so we thought we would just email some of our missionaries. We I don't know how many are emailed, but we've got four back. And we asked them, what is Christmas like where you are serving the Lord Jesus Christ in that country? And so we got four responses back, and we just wanted to share that with you this morning about how, you know, I love talking to people about, you know, we open our gifts on Christmas Eve, we pray, we eat lots on Christmas Eve, we do nothing on Christmas Day, or you know, it's vice versa, and all the traditions that you and I have. And I thought it'd be nice this morning to hear some of the traditions that are going on in the world about how that message of Jesus saying, I will fill you with the Holy Spirit, and you shall be witness for me. And I just wanted to let you hear this morning from some of our missionaries about what is happening in these parts of the world, about how that gospel message has affected us. So, Betty, you're going to go first this morning. She's got a cold. She can't talk too much, so I gave her the smaller print. I've got some longer one messages here, but she's got the shorter ones. Who's your first one, Betty?
Well, our first one is from, of course, our ones that we do support, the Hudson, it's Melissa and Scott and the Williams. And
what country are they?
And they're in El Salvador.
El Salvador, wow. Feliz Navidad.
She was gracious enough to send me back an email saying, thank you, Betty, for asking me. And did you know in El Salvador, which Oscar and his family probably know this, that on says the family spend the 24th together. Most people receive new clothes and shoes for Christmas, and they spend the evening with all their family together. They eat bread filled with turkey or chicken, topped with a type of coleslaw and a sauce that they make from the water that the chicken was cooked in. At midnight, everyone cracks off fireworks, and it sounds like World War III here.
World War III, heard that before? Goodness sakes.
Gift giving takes place at midnight. The 25th is a quiet day. Many families go to the beach. Wouldn't that be nice at this time of year?
Yeah.
Or amen. Just pass the day resting from the festivals the night before. Later this evening, she said she might send me some recipes, but she didn't, so that's okay. So that's what they do in El Salvador. So it sounds nice, and they enjoy it, and we thank the Lord for them there, the work that they're doing.
Does that sound familiar, what they do in El Salvador? This one is from La Croix family. They are in one of our restricted access nations, and I can't tell you what country they are in, but they sent us a little note saying what they do in their country for Christmas. They said, normally Christmas is on January 7th, following the Coptic calendar. It is primarily a traditional church celebration in the Coptic church that day. And Christian families may have a meal together. I think everybody eats on Christmas, don't they? They just seem to have lots of food. But he said, our Muslim friends don't celebrate, however. Some may incorporate a few of the secular traditions. Our family typically celebrates on the 25th as a family, and we call all of our local Christian friends on the 7th of January to send out our greetings to them when they celebrate. And we often invite some of our Muslim friends to join us on the 24th, where there's a beautiful choir that sings. Isn't that beautiful that they invite the Muslim people in? So that's all he would share. And of course, if you ever get an email from the La Croix family, a lot of times they put asterisks in a lot of their words, so because the government would see these emails going out, and they have to be very cautious about what they say. And so the word Muslim is a lot of asterisks in there. But we know what it is. But anyway, he said, ends this with wishing you a very special Christmas, Deborah, Jed, Talia, and Joel from this country.
The next one is from the Dugans. They're in Kenya, Africa. And she was happy to get my email. And she says, in Kenya, Christmas is very sacred time. Christianity is the main religion, though this is a very strong Muslim presence as well. Christian messages, songs, and God bless you are commonplace everywhere you go. You can freely speak about God, Jesus, and Christmas. Christmas looks completely different, though, in the rural area of Kenya where they minister and live. There are no Christmas trees, decorations, definitely no Christmas lights, and no outward appearances of Christmas, with exceptions of a few missionaries like us who celebrate in the Western way in our home the best we can manage. Yet the true meaning of Christmas is much brighter here. Praise God. People spend the whole day at church. Just imagine.
Wow.
All day at church. Wearing a nice shirt or dress that they may have received as an only gift for Christmas. They wear it proudly to the whole day, at the all-day service. They worship God with singing loud praises and prayer of thanksgiving for the Christ child. Then around 7 p.m. Christmas night, the large family groups that have gathered from near and far join together for a special feast. They slaughter an animal. You know what kind of animal they slaughter? Usually it's a goat, and cook it over an open bonfire and eat it along with, I got to pronounce some words here I don't understand, Ugula, thick corn flour porridge, or sukuma, wika, kale, and chapatis, tortillas like bread. So that's like what they have in Christmas in Kenya. So that's quite different.
This last one is from our missionaries that we're starting with in January, Benita and Alberto, and they're in the country of Cuba. And so in Cuba, of course, we heard from them there just a couple of months ago when they were with us. But anyway, Benita writes us and said, here in Cuba, Christmas was outlawed for many years. When the Pope visited here in 1998, the government decided to allow people to celebrate the 25th But because it was against the law for so long, the church and tourist locations are really the only places where it is more than simply a day of off work. Christians gather for the Buena Noche on the 24th. That is when they have a family meal together, usually with roast pork, rice, and beans. But the meal isn't what we would consider a Christmas meal. People don't have the money to do a lot. Almost no one exchanges gifts either. There is no money for that. In the church, the celebrations differ from congregation to congregation. Normally, they have some decorations if there has been a foreigner that has donated something, but there isn't much stress on it. Remember that there is no decorations permitted by law for a long time, and now, of course, it is legal, and churches could buy things if they had the money, but most don't because it isn't the custom and there are other things needed. Many churches have a Christmas play planned for some point in December or a Christmas concert. Some of them have it on a Christmas day and some don't. It would be about the same level of celebration as Easter. So Christmas Day is just a day off with a church service if it falls on the 25th. If it doesn't, some churches have a special service and some don't. Kind of like here, I guess. In the ministry, I have a Christmas meal planned for my workers, and I bake cookies to send out to the elderly with their lunches on Christmas Day because even though it is now a legal holiday, I don't want them to be hungry on Christmas Day. I also try to invite people to come to the house on the 25th and share a meal with us. In our devotional time here at work, I am pushing for Christmas songs and reflections. But Christmas in Cuba is a day that I am very homesick for, and no one here understands because Christmas, as Canadians know it, is no longer part of their culture. So there's no commercialism because advertising is not allowed in communism, but not a whole lot of other stuff either. Everything is very low-key. So I don't have anything really more to tell you about Christmas other than some things that she shared with me because she's homesick for Christmas celebrations. But there's some things here. I don't know if you get her email, but she says, I have to admit being here at this time of year is a little bit of a letdown. I love Christmas with all the trappings. So I was yearning for a twinkling Christmas tree, and then God pointed out the frosting of flowers as she looked out her window on the trees outside her home. They are gorgeous, and when they drop, the mangoes begin. And when I reflected on that last Thursday night when I had the ladies in from Dorcas Ministry, with Christmas music playing in the background, we played Jenga and dominoes, and we also shared and baked goodies I made for them and a great time visiting. This Sunday, I know the church will be featuring a Christmas play but put on by the children, maybe with less elaborate costumes than in Canada, but the kids love it all the same, and the adults will be touched with the reminder of God's great gift. As well, I have started a few of our own traditions. I am teaching one of my coworkers how to bake peanut butter cookies, and she and her husband will help me distribute them to the elderly with their holiday meal again this year. But this year with a new twist, a dab of guava cooked in the center of each cookie. So Christmas here in Cuba is different, but Christmas really isn't found in the decorations and the carols. Christmas is in our hearts and our longings for the peace on earth, good tidings to all men that the angels announce. And that's true wherever in the world we are. And so from all of our ministry family to you, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year from Benita and Alberto and Cuba. So we sometimes may get discouraged in our lives of looking all around the world and thinking, what's happening? But yet our missionaries are out there on the front lines and they're sharing the good news and countries are changing. They're coming closer to Jesus, and we're fulfilling the scripture that Jesus gave us is to go into all the world in Matthew chapter 28. But he's going to fill us with the Holy Spirit so that we would know the power of God, so that we could be witnesses everywhere we go, throughout Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen? So thank God. The gospel is going forward, and God is doing some great things in our world. So keep praying. Keep praying. Amen? I'm going to use this microphone, okay, John? Sing from? I've already got it on. I heard this song a little while ago by a group called Casting Crowns. I don't know if you've ever heard of them or not. But it's not a Christmas album, but there's a song in there that talked about the song The Angels Can't Sing. Is this on, John? I got it on. There we go. Did you know the angels can't sing the song that you and I sing? Even though they were so important in that Christmas time of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, they proclaimed the peace on earth, goodwill towards men. They could never take that message the way we've received it. We've received the message, and that message changed us. We received the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. His life, his death changed us. The angels can't receive that. And so when I heard this song, it's kind of an up-tempo song, and I thought that this would be a real nice song for us to end today. It's the song the angels can't sing. I have a song that the angels can't sing. You saved my weary soul from all my sin and pain and suffering. Song of the redeemed, I once was lost, but you found me. Oh, I have a song that the angels can't sing. I have a song that the angels can't sing. You stepped out of your throne and wrapped in flesh. You made yourself like me. Song of righteousness I couldn't reach till you reached me. Oh, I have a song that the angels can't sing. Oh, glory, hallelujah, to the Lamb that was slain. I cannot hold it in, you've given me a brand new name. Song of my deliverance, you've broken all my chains and I am free. Oh, I have a song the angels can't sing. Oh, 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 I have a song that the angels can't sing. I was sentenced to a life in chains, no hope for being free. You opened up the door and said, come on and follow me. Now I have a song that the angels can't sing. Oh, Lord, hallelujah, the Lamb that was slain. I cannot hold it in, you've given me a brand new name. The song of my deliverance, you've broken all my chains and I am. Oh, I have a song the angels can sing. Oh, 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 I have a song that the angels can sing. It goes, amazing grace, how sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Now I have a song that the angels can sing. Oh, I have a song that the angels can sing. Now I have a song that the angels can sing. Oh, glory, hallelujah, to the Lamb that was slain. I cannot hold it in, you've given me a brand new name. The song of my deliverance, you've broken all my chains and I am free. Oh, I have a song the angels can sing. Have a song the angels can sing. Oh, I have a song the angels can sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We have a song. Jesus gave us the melody. Jesus came into our heart and saved us. Amen, hallelujah. Would you stand with me as we close on this Christmas day and thank the Lord for the wonderful blessings that we have in Him. Amen. Father, thank you so much for this beautiful, beautiful celebration that we have today. It's all about Jesus coming into the world. It's all about that Savior who was birthed into this world by this young lady, a virgin by the name of Mary, overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. And that which was found in her womb
conceived and was born as the Son of God, Son of Man. And we thank you, God, that you sent Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you came for the specific purpose and only purpose is to save us. So, God, this day, may we celebrate. May we take joy. May we lift your name high. May you be the center of our family gatherings. May you be the center of our conversations. May you be the center of our hearts and our lives on this day, Lord, and every day that we live. May it not just be a December 25th celebration, but every day of our life, let us live like Jesus is the one that we live for, because Jesus is the reason for the season. So go with us. Be with our families. Be with our gatherings. Be with our times together. And Jesus be held high, because we praise you in that wonderful name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Merry Christmas. God bless you.